Come on, if you will, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, everybody. Praise his holy name. God has blessed us in allowing us to be here this day. Certainly, this is the day that the Lord has made. We are to rejoice and be glad in it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you again for your word. Thank you for your worship. Thank you, Father, for your holy work done in our lives. You brought us to this place at this appointed time to hear you speak from heaven. Cancel out every stratagem and scheme of the enemy that nothing will hinder us from hearing you. You're God, you sit high and then look low. You orchestrate our affairs. Lord, we just thank you for things being as well as they are. Could have been a lot worse. But Father, you are God of the breakthrough. And we give you all the praise, honor, and glory because where we are, you brought us. What we have, you gave it to us. Who we are, you made us to be. Glory to your name. Now, Father, as I stand to preach your holy word, I need your preaching power and your preaching grace. Father, we need you to give us your spirit of unity. Pulpit and pew. Pastor and parishioners. Lord, that the world may know you have sent your son. For we prayed the prayer of Jesus. Father, now I decrease, that you might increase more of you and less of me. As the rain and snow come from heaven, watereth the earth, give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall your word go forth and will not return unto your void, but it will accomplish all that you sent it out to accomplish. We depend on you. We trust you. We believe in you. Now, Father, do it in Jesus' name. Have your way in this place in Jesus' name. Father, get all the praise and all of the glory. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Lord, if we had 10,000 tongues, we couldn't thank you enough. But with the one we have, we will lift up your name. In Jesus' name. And Father, when you would have finished with us, you still have all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name. Every heart say amen. Amen. Certainly we thank God for these junior deacons who have devoted our hearts along with our senior deacons. We thank God for these preachers who are here, Reverend McCoy, Reverend Walker, Reverend Foster, Reverend Redwine. We thank God for this youth praise team. Come on, bless God for them. Amen. Thank God for you all. Amen. They blessed us out of their hearts. And thank God for the musicians. Thank God for the Environmental Safety Committee. Thank God for all of you. Amen. It's just good for us to be there. It's good for us to be in the land of the living. God has blessed us again. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 24, and we will end our reading with verse 27. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, the same storm. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Look at somebody, if you will, and say, Jesus, the right foundation. Amen. Look at somebody else, if you will, and say, Jesus, the right foundation. Amen. Amen. Jesus, the right foundation. Jesus' purpose of teaching his disciples and others was to reveal to them the kingdom of heaven. When Jesus came on earth, the kingdom of heaven showed up. For you cannot have a kingdom without a king. That's right. Amen. For every kingdom has a king. Jesus is the king. For the Bible says that he is king of kings. It is through his teachings that he reveals to his disciples and others as they stood around listening to his teaching, that he revealed to them the kingdom of heaven. He reveals to the people then, and he reveals to us now, how imperative it is for us to be citizens of his kingdom. But as a citizen of his kingdom, God the Father has requirements of us. One in particularly is God demands righteousness. Let me hear you say righteousness. It is not the self-righteousness that God is desirous of. It is not the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees that God desired, because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 verse 20, I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. God demands righteousness. Well, what righteousness is it that God is looking for? He's looking for the righteousness that we receive from his son, Jesus Christ. It is called imputed righteousness. And the word impute is an uncounted term. It means to deposit into. Which means that God put into our account, his son, through his son, has put into our account righteousness. That we are made right unto God because we are in his son, Jesus Christ. The word in is en in the Greek, which means we are fixed. That means that when you are in Christ, God has stamped you, or he stamps you as right with him. And out of this positional righteousness, out of this imputed righteousness, comes practical righteousness. Practical righteousness is compassion for others. Practical righteousness is when we are able to endure pressure and persecution for his sake. Practical righteousness is loving difficult people. Practical righteousness is when you are a person of extreme kindness. Practical righteousness is when you are able to forgive others and do good to all who do you wrong. We should be people of practical righteousness. Practical righteousness is when you can go the extra mile, is when you are not set in judgment of others, but you are a person who does not condemn, but you are a person who gives grace. He explains to us what it means to be a child of God, what it means to be a citizen of his kingdom. He says we ought to be people of righteousness. He brings the sermon to a close by asking a question. And the question is, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? The word Lord is Caruso, or Kuruos in the Greek, which means supreme in authority. It means sir, one who whom a person or thing belong, he that has the power of deciding, master. It means to belong, it means the power of God over, and the possessor of God, the ownership of God. In other words, Jesus asks, how can you call me master, your owner, your possessor, your supreme authority in your life, and do nothing of what I say? You saying something out of your lips, but your life is speaking something different. How can you call me Lord and do nothing of what I say? It is evident from the question that Jesus is not impressed by vast crowds, nor is he impressed by what comes out of your mouth. He does not get excited when people say of him or call him Lord. Jesus says that speech is one thing, but living is another. And what speaks louder than what you can say, and the words that flow out of your mouth, is the life you live. That old adage, action speaks louder than words. It's true. Jesus wants you to be about it, not just talk about it. And there are so many people today who sit on the padded pew who can give a good speech but no service. Who can talk about how much they love the Lord, but when it comes to the way they live, you see no evidence of loving God in their life. How can you call me Lord and do nothing I say? Jesus is disturbed by the lack of response to his teachings. You hear the word and live contrary to what it says. You hear the word and have no intentions of changing. You hear the word and you have no regard for it. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord?" And there is no evidence of me as master in your life. He asked a question, but he did not answer the question. However, the question served as a means for Jesus to counsel them, counsel us about our faith, our belief, and our actions. He tells a parable to relay or to get across his message. A parable is a short allegorical story designed to illustrate or teach some truth, religious principle, or moral lesson. Notice in verse 24, Jesus says, "I will liken him." I will liken him. He is not talking about a construction company or a contractor or a proper way of building an earthly house. He's talking about building your life on the right foundation, on the foundation that's sure and very sure. He's speaking to us as individuals that we have to be mindful of the foundation we build upon. All men, all women, all boys and girls are builders. And you are choosing a foundation. All foundations will be tried. And only one foundation will stand the storms of judgment. I think I need to say that again. All men and all women, all boys and all girls are builders. And you are choosing a foundation, and all foundations will be tried. Only one foundation will stand the storms of judgment. Here it is. He lets us in. He reveals himself to us as the firm foundation. Verse 24, Jesus said, "An obedient hearer is like unto one who builds his house on a rock." So a wise man, a wise woman, a wise boy, a wise girl does not build his house or her house on the ground. He builds or she builds it on the rock. Luke Gospel says that to build on the rock, you got to dig. You got to dig. You got to get some stuff out of the way to get to the solid foundation. You got to get rid of some stuff in your life to get to the solid foundation. You got to dig. Which means it requires intense effort on your part. It requires intention on your part. You have to know where the foundation is, and then you got to dig. You got to remove some topsoil, some shifty ground. You got to get it out of the way. And I want to tell you today that deep digging is essential for stability, stableness, and steadfastness in the life of a Christian. Brothers and sisters, it is not enough simply to build your life on the surface or on a little depth. You need some deep depth. See, this is a time that tests the very deepness or depthness of your faith. This corona season, this pandemic, is a time to test and show you what you are really about. Listen, we're in a season now. You can't talk all of that stuff you used to talk and not be about it. If you're going to be who you say you're going to be, you're going to have to dig deep and get some stuff out of the way. You need something solid. Get that stuff out. You got to dig and use your feet. Jesus, I see you. Some of y'all don't know what that's about. You ain't used to getting stuff out of your way. You used to just doing something and call yourself doing right, but you got to. When you come up, you start sweating, but you don't let sweat stop you. You get. Hit rock. I got to dig deep. Because I want to build on something that's solid. Steadfast, enduring. So I got to get some stuff out of the way. Digging deep. So you can get to the solid spiritual foundation. And that solid spiritual foundation is Jesus Christ. And when it comes to spiritual foundation, I'm mighty afraid that most people don't know how to dig. You're used to doing base things. You're used to doing what's menially required of you. But you don't know how to really go that extra mile when it comes to your spirituality. When it comes to your spiritual fitness. When it comes to your spiritual stability. Digging. So that you build your life to last. Several things. Jesus says if you're going to dig deep, there has to be compliance with God's word. Jesus says, when you call me Lord and obey my word, you dig deep and build your life on the rock. So complying with the word of God is obedience, and obedience is a hard word for some people today. They want no rule. They want no principle to govern and guide them. So they want to live what they call this free life. But you're going to have to subject your life and allow the word of God to create barriers and boundaries that you live by. He said there has to be compliance, but then there has to be an acknowledgement of Christ as the right foundation. He is the rock. Psalm 18:2 says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge. Psalms 39:2 says, he brought me up out of the horrible pit and out of the mire clay and set my feet upon a rock. Jesus and established my going. Psalm 94:22 says, but the Lord is my defense and my God is the rock of my refuge. He's my place of stability. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:4, Jesus is the spiritual rock that accompanied Israel in the wilderness. And when God told Moses to strike the rock, he gave Israel water in dry places. That's what God will do for you, and what he will do through his son Jesus Christ is he will take care of you. You need to build your life on the rock. It is the hymnologist Edward Moore who said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly leaning on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. Storms will come. Storms, hear me, are not indicators and indicative of disobedience. In other words, people who obey the word are not exempt from suffering and facing storms in life. Notice how Jesus describes this storm. He says the rain, the sin, floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. See, if you build on the rock, the most violent storm can't shake you. The most cleverest influence will not undermine you. The mightiest earthly force will not overturn you, simply because your life is built on the rock. You took time since y'all won't get me over here, let me get over. Took time. Winds blowing, rains descending, floods have come, and you still sitting with your arms folded, singing your song, I got a feeling everything is going to be all right. Winds blowing, you still singing your song, I got a feeling everything is going to be all right, because you took time to. He flips the page. He says, but he that heareth my saying and do them not is like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. He says the winds when the floods came, because it was raining and beat upon that house. And the house took all it could take. And eventually gave way to the storm. Come here. Let me tell you why. Come on. Just a little closer. Let me tell you why. Everything and everyone outside of Christ is shifty sand. Come on, come here again. I know you thought you could trust the one and depend on the one who stood across from you at the altar when you said, I do. But the winds start blowing and the rains start descending. And the floods came. And the person that said, I'll always be with you for better or worse, couldn't take the worst. And when the worst came, they cut out on you. I know you thought you could depend on your job. Your boss said you always have a place in the company. And you left there singing your song. And you were glad about what he said, because he saw you as a good employee. And he said you will always have your place in the company. But what happens when the company is no more? See, sometimes jobs may not fire you. They may run out or play out. You can't depend on anything or anyone outside of Jesus Christ, because Jesus said it is shifty sand. He said it's foolish. I will liken him unto a foolish man. The Greek word moros is where we get our English word moron, which means to be dim-witted. It means to be lacking a grip on reality, dull in understanding, acting as though brainless, foolish, because common sense says that the house built on no foundation cannot last. It looks good. It may stand for a little while, but eventually it's going to be tested. And then the test, it will be brought to ruins. I heard a preacher put it this way. We have a lot of pretty buildings walking around, but none of them have a good foundation. But it is only a matter of time before their lives collapse. We have this misnomer concerning being a Christian. Let me help you. Jesus says, it's not enough just to build something. You know how people, they just build something. And when I was young, I used to be disturbed about it, because it seemed like they had an advantage. They had something and I didn't. But what I was doing was removing the shifty soul. I like to watch, you know, wildlife. And when the sea turtles come in ready to lay eggs, we get up on the seashore and get a little ways from the water, and they will use their front flippers and their backs like they're swimming.
That's right.
then they would lay the eggs. And then they would get over the eggs. And cover them back up so predators won't easily get the eggs. And at the hatching time, the little turtles would dig their way out. See, you thought I wasn't doing nothing because I was slow to start. They thought you wasn't doing nothing because you're trying to do it right and do it according to the principles of God, and they had ran out ahead of you. And they had built their house on the sand. And when the storm came, their houses were demolished. Their lives fell apart. And here it is. We're sitting in the sanctuary. Sitting in our living room. Sitting at the bar in our homes. And sitting in our beds or laying in our beds watching church on our devices. And sitting in here listening to me preach. And I'm here to tell you that they thought they had an advantage. But what they didn't know, you were spending time where it mattered. You were digging deep before you decided to build. And listen, now that the storm has come, you are still here. Now that the storm has raged, you are still in your right mind. Now that the storm has come and gone, you still standing with your arms folded, with your head cocked back, with your shoulders squared, praising the Lord, because you know that it was the Lord that kept you, and you know that it was because you had founded your life on the sure foundation. Is there anybody in this room can be a witness that if you take the time and build your life on Christ, when the rain the sin, when the winds blow, and when it floods come, you gonna still be standing. You thought you had me, devil, but I'm still standing. You thought you had me, sickness, but I'm still standing. You thought I was gonna lose everything, but I'm still standing. You thought because my spouse walked out on me that it was gonna bring me to ruins, but I'm still standing. I still got joy in my heart and peace in my mind because I know to whom I built my life upon. Jesus Christ is that solid rock. He went to a hill called Calvary one day and faced his own storm. It was raining in his life. The winds were blowing in his life. And the floods rose in his life. He died on that old rugged cross. But thanks be to God, that's not the end of the story. Sunday morning had to come. The devil rejoiced Friday night. He rejoiced Saturday morning. He rejoiced Saturday night. But early Sunday morning, the grave had to give him up because he got up with all power, heaven and earth in his hand. He got power to keep you. He got power to empower you. He got power to provide for you. Is there anybody in this room this morning who want to give God a praise? You've been through the storm and rain, and you are here today because you are founded on Jesus. Be not dismayed. Whatever betide, God will take care of you. Do I have a witness? Is there anybody in the room who can stand on your feet and point to somebody and say, if it had not been for Jesus, I would have been gone a long time ago. But because of Jesus, I'm here today. And I just want to take a few seconds to give him a praise. If you got a praise on the inside of you, why don't you get it out? Say, yeah, yeah, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for how you brought me through. Thank you, Jesus, for how you brought me over. Thank you, Jesus, for how you kept me in my right mind. Thank you, Jesus, for how you provided for me and how you protected me, how you watched over my family. Thank you. I want to give you a few seconds to have your own praise party.
Come on, 2020 almost out. He kept us through the pandemic. Have a praise party. The doors. The doors. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on, praise your way out of this year into another year. Come on. The doors. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you're here today and Jesus is not Lord,
hallelujah,
he's not Savior of your life, you haven't taken the time to dig deep. He's here today to offer himself to you as the foundation. That's true and sure and very sure. Come today if you're here and you're not saved. Give the Lord your life. And he will situate your life upon the solid rock. Secondly, if you're here and you're in need of a church home and the Lord has laid New Bethlehem Baptist Church on your heart, come, come. Thirdly, if you're here and need to be restored, the last storm you've been in and you've gone through has zapped you. But I want you to know that he will revive, restore, re-energize and redirect. Come, come, come. Come. Give myself away so you can use me. Give myself away. Come on. I give myself away so you come on, come on. The doors of the Lord's house stand ajar. I give myself away so you. Hallelujah. Come on, give God you today. What can I give to the Lord? Give him you.
So you can use.
Here I am. Here I am.
Here I stand.
Come on.
Lord, my life is here. Lord, I'm longing to see your desire revealed in me. I give myself away.
Hallelujah.
So
Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for worship. Thank you for allowing us to be here, keeping us safe. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to be used of you. For you have blessed us to be a blessing. Thank you, Father, for just allowing us to serve, Lord, in the church and outside of the church. That, Father, we will reach people. We will touch lives. Because we desire to know you and make you known to New Bethlehem and the Bessemer City and the world abroad. We mission minded, and we are soul winning church for Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to empower people to serve you. So, Father, we have been brought in and built up, and now you are sending us out. Lord, we pray that you keep us. Bless every person under the sound of my voice. Bless them in their giving. We thank you for their generous hearts, Lord, that allows ministry to be propelled forward in this season of pandemic. Thank you for the compassion of your people, Lord, that we'll be a blessing to the hospitals and blessings to people around our church. Thank you for being gracious and kind, opening doors that no man can shut and shutting doors that no man can open. We thank you for every storm, for the storms are allowed to reveal to us the foundation. We take time to dig deep. But we take time to get some stuff out of the way so we can build on you, your son Jesus. Now, Father, as we make ready to leave this place, I pray that you bless every giver. We'll give according to your word. And bless those that had a desire to give but didn't have it to give. And I pray, Father, that you will provide for them their every need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Pray, Father, for your grace and mercy and the communion of your Holy Spirit, that it will rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forever. Every heart say amen. To you I belong. I give myself, I give myself to you.
Y'all doing all right? 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 Y'all doing all right?